Thank you for joining us this morning for the Central Message, brought to you by Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton, where we are transformed by Christ to transform our world. If you would like to listen to this message again or previous messages, as well as the Central Minutes, you can listen to them on our website, www.centralparkchurchofchrist.org. And now, the Central Message.
Hey, good morning, church. It's great to be with you again today. Thank you so much for allowing me to go on vacation last week. I had a great time riding motorcycles. We went down the lake of the Ozarks, down by Branson, down into Arkansas and back around, and just had a great time getting away with some of my great Christian friends and spending quality time with them, and just great friends and good food and good times. It was truly a great opportunity. Also, a shout out to Dustin, man. Thank you so much for filling in last week. Man, talking about a stress-free life, huh? I like it. And, you know, I think we just need to all opt out of stress and just say, you know what? We're going to opt out today. We're not going to do it anymore. Matthew 6:33 is a great text. And, you know, I enjoy that. But, hey, here's the thought, Dustin. How about we do this? After all this COVID stuff is over, you know, why don't we just do a project finishing mission trip? We just get people together from the church. We come finish your treehouse. Then come over here and finish my back deck that I ain't got done yet that I started already. So maybe that's a thought for us. But we can just start at Dustin's house. Man, that sounds great. You know, Dustin talked last week about moving forward and how we can't change the past. And he's absolutely right. And so we all kind of struggle with that. And so thank you so much, Dustin, for doing that and being there. But, you know, Dustin truly has a calling on his life. And I want to thank him for, you know, being part of that and listening to God on that. And I don't know if you know this or not, but Dustin has a way of he'll call people and talk to them and go see people, go visit with them. And, you know, I truly appreciate that about his ministry and his family. And so, Dustin, again, thanks for being there this week and being part of that. But, hey, I have a great announcement that I can't make yet. So, you know, here's what we're going to do. We are going to make a huge, huge announcement. Coming up Friday, we're going to make this announcement. So it'll be Friday evening sometime. So stay tuned to Facebook, YouTube, and prayer chain, text messages, all of that stuff. We're going to make that announcement Friday evening. I'll come on live and we'll make an announcement, make it formal. So just be paying attention to that because it's going to be a great announcement. I think you're going to really like what you're hearing. So I look forward to that. One of the things I want to look at doing is a revival coming up. Once we get back into church, I really think it's an opportunity for us to reach out into our communities and share the love of Christ in some very powerful and meaningful ways. So we're looking forward to that. Before Josh comes on, I want to pray with you and we'll get started this morning. Father God, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, we know that there are so many things happening in our culture and it just piles stress upon stress upon us, from COVID to losses of jobs to health and issues and financial struggles. And now on the heels of this, we have this political process that they're asking us to cast a vote. And Father, I pray that you would guide us through this decision, guide us through these next few months, and guide us into these coming years as to whoever becomes our president, that you would just lead them boldly and mightily, Father. We pray for the candidates. We pray for this nation, that we would find healing and reconciliation and strength and power under the banner and the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we love you and we praise you. We look forward to worshiping you right now in Jesus' name. And God, all God's people said, amen. You know, Ed, maybe you can tell it by my prayer, but I'm truly concerned about our election process. And I know it might be a little bit taboo for the minister to start talking about, you know, elections. And trust me, I'm not going to talk about Democrat or Republican. I'm not going to go there. What I want to spend time today talking about is the process by which you choose who you vote for. I think that's the important piece behind this. But my fear is with this election, it's simply this, that no matter what or who is chosen, God will somehow be left out of the equation, that he'll be left out of the process. That just scares me, that we have people that would vote, especially those who call them Christians, without even giving this a moment's thought. The other thing that disturbs me is, did you know there's other candidates besides two for president? Yeah, you might want to look at that. There's other people running for president, but have you heard from them? No. Do you know what they stand for? No. It's a unique situation in our culture today. And, you know, I know that one of the most difficult things for us to do is to check our own attitudes, especially when we're talking politics. It is one of the most difficult things for us to do. And I ran across this statement, and it goes like this. Everything can be taken from you but one thing. To choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's way. That's the only thing that can't be taken from you unless you allow them to take it from you. You see, I want to talk about today casting your vote. For who? Who are you voting for this election process? Now, this parts of this sermon, I went back through in some of my other sermons I've preached a long time ago, and I found this one from 2008, and it fits so well for today, because even then, our nation was experiencing some very difficult times and trials, and it was a unique period in time for us. And I think that one of the most difficult things that we've had to face is the anxiety of this whole process. And then you throw in COVID, you throw in, you know, the economy and all of these things, and we see this whole thing just kind of explode. Well, what does the Bible say for us to do? In Philippians 4, 6 and 7, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. We understand that. It tells us to tell God what we need and to thank him for all that he's done. So I find that intriguing. And in Luke 12, 56, Jesus makes this statement, and it's been interesting to me for quite some time. Jesus basically says that Christians should be able to understand or interpret the times in which we live. See, if you're not a Christian and you're just trying to figure out which one is the best candidate and which one fits this and which one does that and which one, you know, is going to support my ideas, then I think you're going about it all wrong. Perhaps a way to look at this is, as a Christian, who should I vote for? As a Christian, what does God expect of me? And it's easy for us to turn on the TV. It's easy for us to open Facebook or Instagram or Twitter and all of those things and kind of evaluate our stance politically based off of those things on social media and on TV. I find it intriguing that we would do that, but here's why we do it. I think we do it because it's easy for us to simply allow others to tell us what to think. But I want you to do something. I want you to figure out what the Bible tells you to think, what the Bible tells you about these days, What do you think the Spirit of God is telling us to do in this day? You know, this presidential election is getting so much media attention. It's not even funny. And so, I mean, every day, every second of the day, it's all about this. So maybe the question here is, how should you vote? How should Christians vote? You see, the interesting thing is, you know, I used to do counseling quite a bit, and people would come in my office and they'd say, Pastor, what should I do about this? How should we fix this? How should we go about this? What should we do in our family when we have a problem? You know, what do we do to solve this when we have personal problems? My answer was always the same. What does the Bible say about those things? What does the Bible tell you about all of those issues? That's the answer. But yet, when it comes down to problems in our culture, problems in our electoral process, problems with health issues, well, what do we say? I give them the same answer, but most people, including Christians, change books. They go to something else. Many times, with problems in our nature and culture in our nation, they've changed books to this self-help thing and this framework of them doing it on their own. So let's restructure this into a Christian framework. Let's restructure this into something that says, God wants me to handle this way. But yet, we cannot discuss politics. We just can't. Without bringing God into the equation. See, Romans 13, 1, 2, and 3 tell us that God is that essential part of government because it's a divine institution. God ordained this institution of leadership, of governments, governance, of people placed in authority over us. I'm not talking about the United States of America presidency. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how God has placed someone in power over us to help make those decisions. You see, the world is already a theocracy. Theos meaning God and Kratos meaning to rule. It's just that way. So the question really isn't whether God is powerful or God is ruling today. The question is, how does he rule? So let me break it down for you. God rules in four different ways, in four different categories. There's four levels of government. And God has broken government down into these four levels. And the first one is self-government. I think that's the most important one because when we govern ourselves, we don't need someone else to tell us, hey, this is right or this is wrong. Every person will eventually give an account before God Almighty of their life. And so one day you're going to look back and you have to give an account of everything and every action that you've done as you're standing before God. That's self-governance, when you realize that and you make changes in your life. Secondly, there's family governance, and it's families have this special jurisdiction, you know, parents and children and husbands and wives, and the family has this structure that's established by God. Third, you have church government. You have God-established leaders to guide churches, to guide people. Then finally, you have civil government. And so Rome, the Romans set up a very interesting system for this. And as Christians, we should vote for the person, the platform, and the party that best represents the values of kingdom building work. So we should vote for that party that represents God's work. How do we do that? I think this will determine how God relates to our country. I think it changes how we look at ourselves in the mirror. It changes so much about us as people. I mean, are we truly proud of who we've become lately? Are we truly proud of what we stand for as a nation? You see, righteousness, doing right, keeping the commands of God, conforming our hearts to God's heart. I think in beliefs, God wants us to think like He thinks. And then in actions, God wants us to act as He would act, according to His word. I think that's the key. You know, whether you are voting for whatever party you're voting for, if you're voting for Trump, you're a minister of God. If you're voting for Trump, you're a minister of God. If you're voting for Biden, you're a minister of God. If you're voting for the Green Party, you're a minister of God. If you're voting for the Libertarian Party, you're a minister of God. You have to think in those terms. See, I think our role is, how do we know? Well, let me rephrase that. How will the government know what is good and evil? How does that happen? How do they weigh that out? And it's by their values. It's by their core. That's how they do that. And so I think that's why God puts so much emphasis on us to truly live out our faith. See, I think we need to look for people to put in office who are moving closer and closer to God. I think that's the whole point. We're not looking for the perfect person who's already this godly picture. We're looking for the person who is committed to every day moving closer and closer to God. See, that makes a difference to me. I think that's the whole point. But when it comes down to this voting process, I want you to understand that we cannot allow our party affiliations to push God off to the side and out of the way. See, I think they need to be held accountable. See, people want to push God back into church building. This is what's been great about this COVID situation is that God isn't contained into a little building anymore. I think it's amazing that once COVID hit, God became valuable Monday through Saturday. I've just seen it over and over and over again. See, people want to push God back into this church building where He cannot affect society. They want to put God back on a shelf. That's what we're seeing in our culture. And I'm ashamed of what I'm seeing in our world today. You see, the way I work in this world is by getting data from another world and transforming that data. And I take that to this world and I implement that within this world. That's what Tony Evans said. Tony Evans, let me repeat that. The way I work in this world is by getting data from another world that I take to this world and I implement within this world. Tony Evans wrote that. What he's saying is, I take data from another world, data from the Bible, and I bring it back to this world, and I implement it in this world, primarily in my life, and I move forward with that to change our world. See, that's what we're here to do. Tony Evans also wrote this, too many Christians live down here, work down here. They cannot bring anything unique into the political process. It does not matter if you are a Republican or a Democrat as long as you know where you live. If you know where you live, where your party goes against God, you know what what stand you must take. Know where you live while you are doing your work, so you do not get confused by the politics of men. See, I'm convinced that we need to look at this in the light of two different things. First of all, where is Jesus in this, and how does Jesus live in this realm in your life? I found this story very, very interesting. A chaplain was speaking to a soldier who was in a hospital, and this soldier was laying in a cot in a bed, and this chaplain was speaking to him, and the chaplain said, "You have lost an arm in the Great War." The military guy, the soldier, said, "No." He had this big smile on his face. He says, "I didn't lose it. I gave it." See, in the same way, I think Jesus did not lose his life. He gave it personally, that we could have life everlasting. I think that's the point. And so when you weigh out what Christ has done for us and how we're moving forward as Christians, what are we truly accomplishing here? What is our goal in casting our vote? I hope and pray that you vote for Jesus. I hope and pray that you vote to instill and reinstill godly values in our culture. And I hope that you weigh those out through the lens of the biblical data. Find out what God has to say about how to vote in this world today. You know, before we give an altar call, and Josh is going to sing "O Come to the Altar," one of the things I want to talk to you about is, you know, birds. It sounds weird, I know. But in thinking of this process, I've thought of the vultures of our society, and I've thought about, you know, hummingbirds a lot. You know, we went on vacation, and we stayed in this cabin, and they had a hummingbird feeder. And these hummingbirds would come back to this feeder every morning and every evening. And it was just amazing to watch them. And the nectar in there was running low, and I wasn't sure how much longer they were going to have to go there to eat. But if you think of it in these terms, the vulture and the hummingbird, it sounds like an odd combination, doesn't it? But here's the point. Both the hummingbird and the vulture fly over our world. But all the vulture sees is rotting flesh, because that's what he looks for. See, the vulture literally thrives on that rotting flesh. The interesting thing about that is that hummingbirds do the opposite. They ignore that dead, rotting carcass, and instead they look for the color of the blossom, or they look for the nectar in the feeders. And here's the contrast. Vultures live on what was. They live on the past. They fill themselves with what is dead and gone. But a hummingbird lives on what is. You see, they seek this new life. They fill themselves with freshness and life. Each bird finds what it's looking for. The vulture finds that past, the rotting flesh, the dead life. The dead life. That didn't make much sense. But they find the dead carcass. They find what they're looking for. The hummingbird finds life, and it lives on what is and seeks new life. See, each bird finds what it's looking for. I think we all find that. And the reality is that our culture is teaching us and telling us to focus on the past, focus on that stuff, that rotting flesh, nasty smelling stuff, instead of looking and focusing on the new, the life, the giving. And they just tell us, and just spoon feed us with all of this stuff. And the reality is that we have a choice. See, as Christians, hopefully you understand that Jesus Christ gave his life for us, that the sins of a world, that we might have life everlasting. And now, as a Christian, what you have to do is you have to choose. You have to choose that past, that rotting self, that dead, nasty smelling thing that's dead and gone, or you choose new life. You choose that life with Christ, and you let go of all of that that is dead and lost. Jesus takes that from you and gives you new life. You see, that's what we're here for. We are here to help you find Jesus Christ faithful. You see, he loves you beyond measure. He is waiting for you. Oh, won't you come to the altar this morning? God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our message today. If you have heard anything in this message that spoke to your heart, please don't let this moment pass. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This is an important decision, and I don't want an opportunity to pass for someone to come to God in need and to have all those needs met and sins forgiven. If you would like to accept Jesus into your heart today, you can do so right now. If you have chosen to follow Jesus today, it is important to be connected with fellow Christians in a real and personal way and to publicly profess your faith through baptism. If you don't have a church home, you are welcome to become part of the Central Park Church of Christ family. You may want to find a local congregation closer to your home. But whatever you do, find a place where you can learn and be spiritually nourished and where you can serve others. If you would like to speak to a minister, please contact the minister of your local church or call Central Park Church of Christ to speak to one of our ministers. Call the church office at 217-446-8947 and leave a message. Thank you for listening to the Central Message.